Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Church Hour. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. God bless each and every one of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a long since we've done our podcast, so we want to get back into that in our study of the Book of Proverbs. We want to finish up chapter 22, and we want to keep I think what I'm going to do is break it up and do Proverbs maybe 3 days a week, so that could be consistent with that. So on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're going to have Proverbs, and then we're going to probably do some topical messages on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number here, though, is 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. You can call in and listen through your or you can log on and by going to Minister Big Ken 65, Minister Big Ken, B-I-G, KEN, the number 65, and you can go on the podcast or listen to the podcast on Blog Talk Radio at any given time, 24/7. And you can actually send those, you can go to the website, to my page, or by going to Minister Big Ken 65, you can log in there, and you can basically go onto the page, and you can email those to your own emails and post them on your own Facebook or Twitter. However you want to do it, you can share those messages. So just so you'll know, you can be able to share those and be able to keep a kind of an archive where you can listen at any given time. Before we get into any announcements, I want to do due diligence and go before the Lord in prayer and ask him to come in and bless this time of study and meditation or teaching on God's word. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, Lord, just asking, Lord God, that you would enlighten me, Lord God. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding, Lord God. Let me speak from the heart. Let me speak from speak truth and love. And let us be encouraged, Lord God, and stimulated, Lord God. Any changes that we need to make, Lord, in our lives, Lord, let us make those changes. Let us make the right decision. May our spirit be sensitive to what is true and what is real and what is, we don't want to do anything outside of your will. So we just ask right now, Lord, that you minister through your vessel, Lord God. May I decrease and may you increase and may you get all the glory this day in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen, amen, and amen. Again, welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour on Blog Talk Radio. For those that's on Facebook Live, we're streaming it. For those that's on Periscope, we're streaming it. Having a problem with Friend Life, I might have to cut them out because for some reason, for a while they were giving, I was able to, the bandwidth was good. Now it's not good enough, so they cut me off. So I think I might have to cut them off from using that. So it doesn't matter. Word will continue to go forth, but it's just frustrating. So I don't want to have to pay for more bandwidth that I don't really need. You know? But with that being said, let's you can follow this ministry through Blog Talk Radio. You can listen on the podcast by going to Minister Big Ken 65, 24/7, 365 days a year. You can be able to access into that. You can also check me out, follow this ministry through DKendrickSR65 at Twitter. You can also catch me on Periscope at Minister Daryl Kendrick. You can catch me on at Gmail at DKendrickSR@gmail.com, and you can hit me, of course, on Facebook Live through Daryl Kendrick. And that's pretty much, I'm an open book, easy accessible. And we're working on, I got one YouTube video up yesterday. My boy in New York, he set it up for me. So I'm trying to get all of these converted over to YouTube videos that I've done so far through Periscope, through Facebook, and hopefully we'll get those. I'll learn how to do it myself with some help, and I can get, and if anybody knows how to do YouTube videos, how to convert videos that you already have, please let me know. Please call me, talk me through it so I can start getting this done. I want to start editing these and start to really how to put these things together, because eventually I really believe that the Lord is going to have kind of like a in-home studio where, eventually I'll have my own little background and everything, and, kind of like you see some of these people doing where they're basically doing, announcing different topics, some of the world, and, some people are doing it of the spirit. So I want to have a backdrop like that or a platform where, hey, we go out and even interview people. We talk to people about their life, and eventually we hope to be able to, talk to people and just see where they are spiritually, and take the gospel to another level and be proactive in our walk with God. Amen. So pray about that, and pray that the Lord will, open those doors, and I'll learn how to, really set up that and do production with that and really get into it, because, there's so much software now, to be able to do your own videos and stuff like that, and you can kind of have your own little thing going. So it's really a great outsource, and I know Ustream, they really have a really big, they have their internet and all of the prompts and everything that's you can use to be able to better produce videos and, you can do a whole TV network now through the internet. You could really set up people doing TV, doing movies through the internet now, using the software. You can basically become a director now doing a whole internet movie. So it's crazy. So that's kind of like where I see God might be using me to move forward in that. So other than that, also again, Thursday night, there's a Bible study at Fort Church of Los Angeles. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I want to invite you out, Fort Church of L.A., www.corechurchla.org. You can get all of the information there on corechurchla.org. Also, Sunday morning worship starts at 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30. You're invited to come out if you're in the Los Angeles area. Also, I'll continue to ask for your prayers. Pray for my health. Pray for my strength. And pray that God will provide spiritually, mentally, and financially by using hand. You know, like I said earlier today, we are His hands and feet. So, you know, we can give back to or bless our brothers and sisters and people. Those that can meet the need of this ministry or help financially, only if you can help financially, prayerfully, through, we just ask that the Lord put that on your heart, or if He is putting it on your heart, please consider donating to the GoFund account on my page. But let's get into our lesson. Let's get into our lesson. We're going to be, last week we started Proverbs 22, verse 1 through 15, and we didn't get back to it. So we want to finish this up because I want to leave it hanging. It's been a whole week, you know, since we did anything, so we want to get back to this. So we stopped at verse 15, and for those that don't know, you can go on the podcast, you can go to my page or blog on the Prodigal Church Hour, or just go to Minister Big Ken and look at the last series, verse 22 of Proverbs. You can see there's the whole series that we've been doing on the book of Proverbs since I think we started back in maybe March, April. I think we started Proverbs in April or May. So you can go back and you can be able to track along with us as we're going through the book of Proverbs, and check out the whole series of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. If you haven't had a chance, we went through the whole book verse by verse, and we kind of broke it down, chopped it up, and we served it out. Amen. So if you want to get an understanding of the book of the epistle of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, as well as, you know, I deal with, it's a very extensive topic of false teachers in there and what to look for with a false teacher. So it's important for us to know what false teachers do and how they deceive you. So please, please, please check that out and make sure that you get that for yourself to you know, track along with us, and as well as the book of Proverbs. So let's go into verse 16 and let's see what the Lord has to say to us. Verse 16, he who presses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. He who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. You find that there are dictators that have been around the world. There have been people around the world that basically have used slavery to basically prosper themselves. They used slavery, human slavery, and that wasn't just a black or white thing, even though in America it was black, but in other countries it was just because. It wasn't even because of the color of skin. It was just a hatred of that person, or that they were less than them. They treated these people less than human beings. So we see here that the Bible says he, or they who oppress the poor to make more for himself or themselves, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. Doesn't matter what they try to do down here. They you know, many people have tried to manipulate the word of God. Many people have tried to make them end up, you know, Germany was a country that, you know, they oppressed the Jews, and they had to suffer for it because they went through a time of where they became a poor country. America had to bail them out. So you see every nation that has tried to, or who has tore down people, or tried to who has treated people, the poor people, unjustly, they had to adhere to it, or they dealt with, God dealt with that nation, especially if they didn't repent. A nation that won't repent, God will deal with you. Again, so he says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth, or gives to the rich, you know, in other words, you only give to the rich. You even got some of these, and I was just watching and I posted an article up there about Cueflo Dollar. I'm not afraid to call him out. He's a false teacher. I don't care who said it. But You know, this is a man who has a mega church in a poor community where people, most people in that community are part of Georgia. I've never been to that part, but from what I'm told, that's one of the poorest cities in the Atlanta suburb. Most of the people there are living off of pennies. You know, they're living off welfare or living less. They're living below the level, the 25 to 30,000 or less. But this guy is sitting on mega millions. He gets mega dough, and the church sponsors up to about $125,000 or more a week they get from this man. You got a lot of people that go to that church. You got some people that come from all parts of Atlanta, and maybe some rich and elite people, they participate and are part of that ministry. But the average person that lives in that area are not wealthy. They're below the wealth level or below. They're in the poverty-stricken level. But, of course, that doesn't matter to people like Cueflo, because Cueflo is all about them dollar bills. That's why his last name Dollar, right? So we see here, he says, The two vices reflect the same selfish attitude, withholding from the poor to keep what one has, and giving to the rich to induce them to give one more. Both are unacceptable to God and incur punishment. See, you can't treat people based on their finance or based on their status. Okay, the rich people, they get a certain respect level than a poor person. And we have to all be careful and guard our hearts against that elitism type of attitude. God wants us as children of God to treat everybody fairly. You know, because I'm black don't mean everybody black is my brother and I'm going to treat you all, you dogging out the black man. You dogging out the black woman. No, if you wrong, you wrong. I'm going to call you out on it. I'm not, just because you're the same color, the same ethnicity, don't mean you better than the white guy or the Hispanic guy. Look, we all are filthy. And you show your filth when you start to have this elitism. Like, well, the pastor black, so that's my boy. That's my dog. That's my brother. No, how about he's saved, he teaches the truth, so I got his back. Look, if you wrong, I don't care if it's my mama. I'm standing on Jesus. I'm standing with the word of God because that's all that matters. When I have to give an account, mama can't save me at the throne room of God. When I stand before him, I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Mama can't help me. I'm going to respect my mother, I'm going to love her, but I've got to take a stand for what God says. And again, he says, whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth. How many people, you know, when we, you know, you find these churches that won't help the poor people, they won't help, you know, oh, if you're a certain class, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, you get to sit up here. How about you come to church on time and whatever seat is available, you can sit there. There's no names on anybody's chair because where do I see that in heaven? Remember when the mother came to Jesus and asked him, I want my sons to sit, one to sit on your right hand, one to sit on your left hand? She wanted elitism. She wanted him to be, them two men to be somebody. We're nothing. So why are we making people in the church holy men? He's so anointed. Man, that ain't nothing but idol worship. That's nothing but idolatry, and God hates it. He's not going to bless that mess. We need to be careful with that. We need to make sure that we treat people fairly. We as Christians, we need to go there with the right attitude and make sure we're treating people with godly respect, and it doesn't matter how poor they are, how rich they are. Look, everybody needs Jesus. Just because you're rich don't mean you're going to get a pass into the kingdom. You're not going to heaven based on the fact that you got money. You're not going to heaven because you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You're not going to heaven because your last name Dollar. In fact, I would really be scared to even follow that man because he's teaching lies from the pit of hell. I can't judge his soul, but I can definitely look at his fruit, and the fruit is all about covetous and greed. It's not about love. Not about love. So we see here that there's a danger of treating people with this kind of elite attitude. Amen. We want to be children of integrity. We want to be godly people. We treat people with godly integrity and respect. Hallelujah. Verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. Apply your mind to my knowledge. So many people. It's one thing to be ignorant of the scriptures because you don't know something. We all have I don't know this whole book. I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't. Every day I'm growing more and more in the Word of God. Every day and guess what? Because my mind ain't the way it used to be no more, I have to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me remembrance because my mind is so, just, you know, it's frazzled sometimes. So I don't come here like I know everything. And if I don't know something, I can go and dig and research. But I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't know everything. I know a little bit. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And a lot of things the Holy Spirit brings back to my remembrance of things I've heard and been taught. But I don't know everything. None of us do. Pride would say I know everything. Well, I've got all the answers. No, I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, I've got very little answers. God has the answer. I'm following his leading. He says it, I believe it, and I'm walking in it. That's all I can give you. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So he says, when wise words are spoken, we are to listen. We're to listen to God. We're to listen to the Spirit of God. The man of God that's bringing the word, or if it's a sister giving exhortation to you ladies, as long as they got the book, they got truth, and they're not giving you their opinion, you rightly defy. You should ask God, Lord, give me wisdom. I want to know, is this true? And you go and search it for yourself. Be a Berean. Every one of you should be a Berean. Don't just come and get food without going and say, wait, let me see what I'm eating. Don't just go and come and say, well, Brother Durrell said it, so I got to believe it. No, you go and check me out. Be a Berean. Paul considered those Bereans were considered noble because they went and checked out what Paul had to say. They didn't just take Paul at his word. They said, all right, Paul, we'll get back to you. Let's go check it out and see if it's true. Every one of us should have that attitude. With our pastors and any leader that we're following or sitting up under, you should go back over the lessons that you learned on Sundays or Thursdays. Go back and listen. Open your Bible. Start to dig a little bit. Some messages are plain and simple, but some messages might need you need to get in a little bit more, dig a little more. So there's nothing wrong with that. This verse is a continuation of the verse. He says, when wise words are spoken, we are to listen. We are to think on those things. In other words, don't just hear the word. Meditate on the word. Let the word of God touch you. Let the word of God touch you. Let it minister to you. Meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and knowledge. Dig into the scripture. See, look at the references. Because most Bible passages have more than one reference to something. Most Bible passages have more than one reference, so you can be able to test things. You don't want to just be one that hears the word. You want to be a hearer of the word, a doer of the word, but you want to be a student of the word. That's why most Christians aren't going past that elementary level. They're not getting out of the spiritual huggies because they don't spend no time in God's word. Everybody's not called to be a teacher of the word, but we're all called to be students of God's word, and we're called to grow. We're commanded to grow. We're commanded to grow. Don't just sit up under people and be, okay, well, the pastor said it, the bishop said it, and I believe. No, you test everything, because that's what we're commanded to do. Too many false teachers out here nowadays passing the money plate around 20 or 30 times a sermon, telling you how you're going to get rich. How about getting rich in some faith? How about being faithful in the word? Amen. He does give us discernment, and we need to use that discernment. A lot of people aren't exercised or using biblical discernment because they don't pick up the word past Sunday. Well, I went and got my word for the week. And you know, I get this all the time. People say, why are you always talking about the Bible? I had church yesterday. See, that right there lets you know what type of Christian they are. Sunday morning only. Sunday morning only. A somo. Sumo. Sunday morning only Christian, which is a non-Christian. You just here, you went there to get your, give your quote-unquote 2 or 3 hours to quote-unquote a man, a building, and a bunch of people that you didn't even like. You didn't even stop to speak to a lot of these folks. You called them your brothers and sisters. You got dressed up. It took you more time to dress up than it did, than you had a fellowship. You got all dressed up. You went to the house of the Lord, but you was running out of there as soon as it was over. You can't have that kind of relationship. You wouldn't have that kind of, you wouldn't have a fruitful marriage if you only spent a couple hours a week with your spouse. So how are you going to have a relationship that's going to be flourishing with God if you don't spend no time with him and his people? Because we're connected, we're family, we're connection. This is a bride of Christ. We're the bride. And too many people are harlots. They're hanging out there, they're cheating on God. They're over there running around with the world, the devil, and their flesh. And God wants us to grow. If we're growing forward, then well, guess what? We can't be going backwards. Amen? Let's go on here. He tells us here, again, in verse, he says, when wise words are spoken, we are to listen. We are to think on those things. Meditate. David said, thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. He was talking about meditating. He was talking about putting the word in his soul that it would be used to guide him, to lead him, to direct him to for righteous and godly behavior. Too many people are walking around here. They're not putting the word in their soul. They're putting the world in their soul. They're getting their word. They're getting the words from the evil one. They got their ear to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they wonder why their life is a mess. It's a train wreck, and they derailed a long time ago because God was not in the standard. God was not the issue. Oh, we went into a building, and we got a religious fix, but the rest of the week belongs to our flesh. We got to be careful. Got to be wise. Got to be wise. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. Remember in Proverbs chapter 1? What did Solomon tell his son right off the bat? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and destruction. Verse 7, that's Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. See, being a fool is one who rejects the truth, rejects God's word or message for life and godliness, rejecting what is right to do. Basically, you decide to do evil versus what is good and just. If you make that choice, it's not anybody else's fault because God has given us the truth. He's given us answers. He's given us, hey, he said, if you follow this, you'll be blessed. You go this way, then you're going to have problems. It's not going to be pleasant. Proverbs 6:22-18, he says, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. See, these two messages, these two passages are tying together. If we go back here, look again at 22, Proverbs 22. Hallelujah. Proverbs 22. Try in verse 17 and 18, you see how what he says here. He says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. Verse 18, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. If all of them are ready on your lips. All of them. See, God doesn't just want us to speak the word. He wants us to speak the word with power and authority, knowing that the word of God is able to change and transform our thoughts as well as our action. It's able to keep us from things that we shouldn't be involved in. So we want to speak the word, but we want to speak the word knowing that we have a relationship with the word, the Logos, that means God in human flesh, the Logos, God-man. If you and I are part of the family, the ecclesia, the bride, then guess what? God has already set the standard because he's running the family. He's the one that is the husband, we're the bride, and because he's the husband, he requires us to submit to his will. He's not going to beat us up. He's not going to beat us to do it. He just wants us to do it because we love him. Because we love him. Simple. God wants us to be about, he wants us to not just hear the word, but speak the word with power and authority. And the word, we need to speak it back to ourselves. We need to talk to ourselves because we are our own worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. A lot of times, it's not the devil doing anything. He'll send his little pawns and he'll send his little disciples to come along, and they come along to try to tear us down. They come along to try to disrupt us. But Satan can't. We can't blame everything on the devil. He's dangling the carrot, but he can't make a believer do anything. He really can't. Not that old Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it. No, friends, we make choices every single day. God wants us stand by, everybody. Got a little technical difficulty. I haven't been having this problem. Now I'm having a problem. Jesus. Give me a sec here. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. 646-668. Sorry about the delay, friends. Sometimes, you know, I run the internet. I really don't. I'm just trying to use what I got. All right, let's see if we can finish this up without problems. Welcome back to those that's on Facebook Live. Welcome back. Sorry about that little delay, or we got kicked off. But anyway, we were talking about how important or how we need to look at the fact that sometimes we want to blame the devil, and we say that, and we mean well when we say that, but we need to realize, friends, it's not always the devil that's causing problems in our life. Sometimes we're just in some mess. We have some sin, and we want to blame the devil for our sin instead of taking responsibility for the sin that we're in. And we need to just humble ourselves and just realize that, friends, when God is speaking to us, we need to own our sin and confess our sin so he is able to forgive us of our sins and trespasses. That's why he says, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you. If all of them are ready on your lips. So right here, we can't blame the devil because God gives us instruction. He gave us his Holy Spirit. So each and every one of us, we might be tempted by the enemy. We can be discouraged by the enemy. He basically comes and dangles a carrot in front of us. But each and every one of us is responsible for our walk and who we are as children of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, then, yeah, the devil will use you. He can use you and play you. But you can't blame the devil for everything that we get involved in or every choice we make. You turn on the wrong TV channel and you start looking at something that's not good for you and you start meditating on that, and next thing you know, you're over there entertaining that in your mind. The Holy Spirit is screaming to you, turn the TV. Stop watching that. Stop feeding your spirit man on that. Stop letting that in your system, your eye gate and your ear gate. Whose fault is it? It's our fault. We got to own it. 646-668-8468 is a calling number. 646-668-8468. And we are live on the Prodigal Church Hour again. Call in there. But we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to own our sin. We need to own our mess. And we need to stand up and speak the truth in love and make sure that we're doing what we can to stay. Keep short account with sin. Abstain from worldly lusts. We got to abstain from it. We got to make choices. When our flesh is craving for something to be fed, we don't have to feed it. We can make choices not to entertain that. And when you do it quickly, then it's not a problem. But when you wait 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes and you're entertaining the wrong thing, whether it's the wrong songs, the wrong movies, whatever it is that's hindering you, whatever it is that is not of God, then guess what? You start to grieve and quench the Spirit of God. But your flesh is still saying, feed me. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Stop feeding the flesh. Stop feeding. Number 19, verse 19 says this. Verse 19 tells us this. That your trust may be in the Lord. That your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. That your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. So we see here, he says, I believe that every person we meet, we extend a certain amount of trust to. Now, you know how I always say, and I've said it a lot of times, that, hey, we're not to put no trust in no man over God. And I probably leave out that part a lot, I have to be honest. We need to trust, we can trust man, but we need to put our primary trust always in God, because mankind will let you down. Husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, children, in-laws, outlaws, cats, dogs, mankind will let you down. God will never let us down. He will never betray us. He will never turn against us. He will never bring evil upon us. God will never do evil against us. He wouldn't. Now, he might judge you, but that's not doing evil, because God is the one who set the standard. Because he set the standard, we're on his playing field, and we need to follow his instructions, his rules. He says, trust is from then on, is either built or lost. So you can't put all your trust in humans. Look, as much as we want to trust our family members, I have to let you in on something, friends. They seem to get you first. Family members come against you the hardest. They come against you first. And they stab you in the back. Y'all know y'all got some in-laws, some out-laws, some cousins, uncles, aunts that have did you wrong in the past. And they don't even apologize for it. They don't even apologize for it. They do it, and they do it with great joy. And when you sit around there, and they act like they ain't did nothing wrong. They don't even care. We have to be very careful. We have to understand that, hey, mankind can do some evil stuff. Talked to my daughter just on the internet yesterday. She was telling me about a situation where she purchased something from a family member, and the family member is now trying to default on that. And the understanding was there would be a weekly payment, and there was down payment money exchange, and all these different things. But now that this person is basically trying to come back, well, now they want to come back and basically take the purchase or take this particular merchandise back and just default on it. Not because they didn't pay, but because they want all of it now. Even though there was money exchanged in the beginning of the transaction. But when people, you cannot do anything nowadays without writing out some kind of formal contract and both people sign it. Because people will just, hey, as much as you want to believe in them, even with church folks, even when we dealing with church, do you realize churches have to do business? They don't just go and get loans from the bank to open up a church with a bank saying, oh, well, there's a church, the pastor's there, he's going to do everything right. No, these banks are going to protect themselves, but we have to protect ourselves, even with other Christians, other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, because it's just business. And you have to have some kind of contract now that you sign, because everybody's word is not their bond. As much, you might know in your heart that you wouldn't default on them, they might know you would never default on it, but it's called a safety precaution, and it's called being wise. It's called using wisdom. And contracts are a good thing. Contracts are a good thing because it protects you so nobody swindles you and try to come back and say, well, I'm going to just say you stole this property now, and you're going to have to pay me, and I'm going to get my car back. Now, you already got my money, but now you won't. Now you're getting ready to go and sell it to somebody else and keep my money. That's not right. That's not right. We need to be wise. Amen? Verse 20 of Proverbs 22.
He says, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge? Have I not written to you for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, and that you may give a true answer to those who sent you. Here we go. Words of integrity. Speaking the truth. Something that's hard to find nowadays in these last days. People want to try to, they water it down. They tell you a tidbit of truth, a little bit of truth, but a whole lot of lie behind it. But God wants us to speak the truth. He wants us to be people of integrity. He wants us to be accountable. Look, when we lie, we're not lying to man, no matter who we're talking to. We're lying to God. Let's remember that. When we tell lies, we're not lying to man. We're lying to God. He hears it all. And you know how I know this is true? Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 and see what God said to this man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. And how did he deal with them? How did he deal with them? Amen? That's all it. We need to be, and you know what? The thing is that these things was written for our learning. So we don't have to be examples. I don't want to be an example of this, but this was not a pretty sight. He says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back part of it, part for himself. In other words, he sold his piece of land, they took the proceeds, and they kept back part of the proceeds. Now, he goes on to say, and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie? Ooh. You see this? He says, but, he says, hey, Ananias, wait a minute, you know, you got this, you had this land. Now, this was the early part of the church. This was a New Testament church in its early infant stages. People were selling their property. They were selling their property, and then they were giving the proceeds to the disciples, the apostles, and they would take this money, and they would split it up and divide it to among the congregation, among the body of Christ, so that people could meet their daily needs, food and clothing. It wasn't like that they were having people, the rich people, sell all their property and they didn't have no place to stay or anything like that. No, this was basically, God is basically starting to get people out from selfishness or selfish behavior, and he's starting to show us what a community of faith looks like. These were, because see, during this time, there were no big churches, as we call them today. These were, the church met in the house, and the house was the body of Christ. So the people came to so-and-so. They might have went to Ananias' house before, or they might have went to another brother's house. But there were there was a place of worship and fellowship where people in that particular city or town would come and meet at. So when they came to meet there, they were all on one accord. So this is what happens when somebody decides to be selfish, or they're trying to be miserly, instead of just being honest with what you can give. It wasn't about a tithe here. I heard some people try to, well, see, God killed them because they didn't give the tithe. I don't see nothing about a tithe here. I don't see nothing about a 10%, nothing here. I don't see nothing about a percentage here. I don't see none of that. And they weren't giving it to the apostles so the apostles could use it. They were giving it to it was going to the body of Christ. It was just being dispersed equally to those who had a need. And we'll see that in a few. He goes on to say this. He says, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? In other words, you owned it. It was already yours. Nobody was forcing him to sell it and give it. But he had made a covenant. Obviously, there was a commitment that those who had sold their property were selling it for the benefit of blessing people in the body of Christ. Not Ananias. Ananias sold it and was trying to keep it for himself. See, God already knew what was in his heart. He knew, and I'm assuming, just by the text, I'm assuming that he had already made a commitment to give. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to give you this much. He said, I got a piece of land, and I'm going to sell it, and you can have it. Praise the Lord. But then, instead of going back and saying, hey, Peter, me and the wife want to take a vacation or something, we might want to, we're going to need some of this money. So but this is what he did. He says, well, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? In other words, hey, it was yours, man. You don't have to lie to us about it, though. God is concerned about the heart. This was not an issue of how much he was giving. The issue was he lied about how much he was giving. He changed his attitude about it. He basically agreed. Greed obviously was the issue here. Covetous, greed. Instead of just being honest and saying, hey, I was going to give this amount, but this is what I'm going to give now. Because it's not the amount of anything that you give, it's the heart behind what you give. If you can't do anything for God with a clear heart, with a gracious heart, with a merciful heart, with a heart of generosity, then don't do it. Ask God to heal you from that covetous, and give you the ability to let go of what belongs to him anyway. Because then God can give it back to you. When he know our hearts are right and our motives are right, he can give. Look, we don't have no problem giving because we understand that when God's ready to give it back to us, he'll do it at his good pleasure. He goes on and says, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last breath, and great fear came upon all who heard. Do you hear this? God struck this man down in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of fellowship. Now, this might not happen in today's church. I'm sure it has, but it might not happen recently. But we see here right there, this is not an issue of how much he gave. It wasn't an issue if he was giving or not giving. The issue was he made a covenant. He said he was going to give, and whatever he said he was going to give, he now had defaulted on that and basically was trying to be deceptive, and his heart wasn't right. That's why he says to him, why has Satan filled your heart? Now, I don't know if this man was saved. I don't know if he was saved. But I know one thing. God was not dealing with this man or was no longer going to allow him to pervert the new birth of the church. He wasn't going to allow this. He wanted to make an example out of him. God did this. Satan didn't kill this man. God killed him. God killed him. Struck him down. We just see here, he says, kept back some of the proceeds. This was not a sin in and of itself. However, they had promised, perhaps publicly, that they were going to give the full amount received to the Lord. Their outward sin was lying about how much they were giving in the church. But the deeper, more devastating sin was their spiritual hypocrisy based on selfishness. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Look, friends, we all have been guilty of this, and praise God that he didn't smite us. Each and every one of us has fallen short on this. I know we have. We've made covenants, and we were going to do something for the Lord, and then we went and reneged on it, and God didn't strike us dead. And guess what? Not only did Ananias feel the wrath of God, but let's look here on to what happened to his wife. Because we see here, it says great fear in verse 5. It says, when Ananias had heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last breath, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Then he goes on to say in verse 7, after an interval of about 3 hours, now his wife is out there checking out what's going on. His wife is out there chilling. She probably said, man, I wonder, now, there wasn't no watches back then. She probably said, I wonder what happened to my babe, my boo. She's waiting on her husband, Ananias, to come out. She's been out there, wherever she was at, she's out there waiting on her husband. Because he went in there, you know, he basically said, hey, this is what I got to give now. And he basically said, I sold it for this amount, but he really has sold it for more. And instead of being honest and transparent, Peter exposed him and said, you ain't lying, man. You lied to God. So God dropped him dead. This is New Testament right here. See, we don't like the God of the Old Testament, but this is New Testament. This is the God of the New Testament killing somebody in his fellowship, in the church, the body of Christ. He didn't want to deal with this hypocrisy. He was setting a standard of holiness and righteousness among the believing body of Christ. And the body of Christ wasn't a building. This was a group of people in fellowship. They all had sold their property. They said they was going to give so much, and they gave it, and it was distributed, and everybody's need was met. Notice when he goes on verse 7, after an interval of about 3 hours, Acts chapter 5, verse 7, he said his wife came in not knowing what had happened. She don't know her husband been killed. She don't even know they done buried him. Then his wife came in not knowing what had happened, and Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Wow. Not only did Ananias lie to God, but she came right along with him. That goes to show you, friends, married people, just because your husband, you know, standing by your man ain't always a wise thing, especially when it comes to God's word. If it's a wrong, if it's a lie, you better speak the truth, because God might strike you down like he did. Look on what he said in verse 8. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down to his feet, at his feet, and breathed her last breath. And when the young men came in and they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband, and great fear came upon on the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. My, see, don't play with God. It's not wise to play with God. Don't take little sins and think that it's okay. See, we act like God. Well, God of the old scriptures, this is New Testament, baby. Chapter 5 of Acts, this is New Testament. This is God dealing with hypocrisy, dealing with lies. He hates liars. And it's not wise for us to do, you know, kind of like we can just, well, God knows my heart. Man, you setting yourself up for hell. You setting yourself up for God to hit you with the death, the angel of death on the spot. So we don't know when people have these heart attacks, we think it's just a heart attack. Their heart, we don't understand. The doctors, when they go in and say, we don't understand, he had a healthy heart. What happened? God. She was a fit as a widow. She ran 10 miles a week. She was riding a bike. She was in all these triathlons. He did this. He took all these proteins and shakes and everything. And guess what? They can drop dead at any time. Any given time. That's why, again, he says, that's why he says it's important. He says, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you? Has not God written to us excellent things? Has he not given us words of wisdom and of truth? God is always in the business of giving us his best if we listen and heed. Take heed to it. So it's not a pretty thing to play games with God. If we listen to and take heed, as we go out in this world, we will have everything we need. See, we don't have to lie to get anything from God. God wants to bless his children, but he wants to bless us when we line up with his word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And guess what? Those are the attributes we should be following after, and we should be demonstrating. We want to walk in his way. We want to walk by the truth. The standard of truth is the word of God, rightly divided, rightly taught, and rightly admonished and exhorted before us. Too many people are playing games with God, and God's not playing games with us. Too many people are playing games with God. Again, let's go back to Proverbs 22. Hallelujah. 646-668-8468 is a call in. We'll take some prayer requests at the end of this program. We got about an hour, but we're not gonna be here an hour. But if you want to call in, if you have a prayer request, if you have something you want to talk about, if you want to share anything that's going on in your life, if I can, you can call in 646-668-8468 if you just like to be able to share your heart, and we'll just let the Holy Spirit, you know, speak through you, and be able to share with the audience what's going on with you, everything and all that good stuff. Amen. So look, let's look at this. Proverbs 22, verse. But we got to go back. Let's go back. In 20 through 21, he says, again, he says, "Have I not written for you 30 sayings of counsel and knowledge to make you know what is right and true, that you may give a true answer to those who sent you?" See, because God has given us his word, his uncompromising word, his unperverted word, the word of God, then guess what? He's given us counsel and wisdom. So that we can, when we go before people, that, hey, we will always speak truth, because we're not speaking our own opinion. We're speaking from the counsel of God. We're speaking truth. And this truth is not compromised. Truth is not compromised. Man. But as we see here, again, Proverbs 22:22, he says, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate." Who does that? What kind of people go around robbing the poor, and not just poor, physically poor, but those that might be poor in spirit? You know, do you take advantage of, we have false teachers out here taking advantage of people that's poor in spirit, people that's looking for truth. They come along and they hoodwink them with lies and deception. Don't do that. Don't take advantage of God, of the poor people. Whether they're poor physically or poor spiritually or mentally, emotionally, there are always people out there trying to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's M.O. It's sad that people do this. It says the proverb is a message of hope to people who must live and work under unjust authorization and leaders. It is also a warning to those who enjoy ruling with an iron hand. Got some ungodly bosses out there that's trying to slave drive you with an iron fist. Oh, you work for me, and if you don't like it, you can hit the door. And they just don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to treat people with kindness. They're not just in their leadership skills. Just constantly trying to tear you down. They're going to make it known. I'm the boss, and that's all that matters. You do what I say. God doesn't favor that. He doesn't give favor to the people like that. He says sometimes God intervenes and directly destroys tyrants. More often, he uses other rulers to overthrow them or their own oppressed people to rebel against them. You know, some of these folks that have ruled with an iron fist, they end up getting jumped on by those that ruled over. It kind of makes you wonder why Israel didn't jump up and take over, or the Jews, when all those Jews were into captivity, why they just didn't jump up? Because they definitely outnumbered the army of Pharaoh. Most theologians believe there was about a good, you know, 3 to 5 million people there. So they had quite a few people there that they could have just
He could have just ransacked Rome. I mean, Egypt. Went in there and took the Pharaoh out first. That's what they should have took out. They should have just bombarded the Pharaoh. All they had to do was just run over him, stampede over him. Hey, you kill the king, then everybody else going to be like, oh, well, there's nobody to rule. Got to get the leader first. Sometimes you cut the head off the snake, everybody else starts to crumble. Amen. Again, he says, more often he uses other rulers to overthrow them or their own oppressed people to rebel against them. If you are in a position of authority at church, work, or home, remember what happens to tyrants. Leadership through kindness is more effective and longer lasting than leadership by force. And I think back to my earlier Christian walk, and we had a pastor at that time that was a dictator. And he had this elitism mentality at a core. Well, we got these core people over here, core members, and there you're building up this whole different, you know, a whole, you got a little sect of people in here where now you got this people, this person don't like you because they don't think you sold out enough for the cross. This person over here thinks you're not more like them. And it becomes this whole standard of watching man instead of following God. And you get ostracized based on the fact, oh, you're not here on Sundays, are you? Your job don't come before God, and you shouldn't be working on Sunday. And if you're working on Sunday, you don't love God like I love God. And it just becomes legalism. That's what it is. Plain and simple, legalism. Next thing you know, you got a group of people up there rallying around you like you in the, kind of like when we played football and they put you in the pit. They put the guys in the pit if you did something wrong, and they basically all just smash helmets against you, and basically, you know, they put you in the bull pit. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, God wants loving leaders who love him first, and then they'll love the sheep. Not to beat the sheep, but to love the sheep. The sheep need to be encouraged. The sheep need to be stimulated to love and good work. But sheep need to be cared for at their level. That doesn't mean you compromise or water down truth, but you minister to people. Don't go around treating people like they less than human because they're not where you want them to be. Next verse. Proverbs chapter 23. He says, Proverbs chapter 23, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. 22 through 23 are both tied in together. So when we look at verse 23 again, he tells us that 22 says, don't rob. Don't rob the poor. 23 says, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. Take a look at who is on the side of the poor. God himself will plead their case. The verdict will be just, and the death sentence will be imposed to those who rob the poor. Are you on the side of the poor? Are we on the side of the poor? Do we care about poor? The poor. Poor in spirit, poor, just poor people, period. Everybody cannot financially help every poor person, but you can help people spiritually. It doesn't cost you money to do that. You can encourage them. You can build them up. You can help them work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And those that are physically poor, God has a people out there that he blesses, that he uses. But he's got some people that still stingy, or they won't give. They won't take care of the poor. They're not concerned about the poor. Verse 24, do not associate with a man given to anger, or give with a hot go with a hot-tempered man. Ooh, how many hot-tempered men you know, women you know, that's just angry. They always futile, always angry. It's a boiling point in them.
just anger for no reason. It's not of God. That is not of God, my brothers and sisters. God does not want us. He says, be angry, but sin not. It's a sin when you let your anger dictate your action, and your action is not holy and godly and righteous and just. There's a righteous anger, but there's an ungodly anger. And that ungodly anger causes you to sin, you and I to sin, and that ungodly anger does not produce the fruit of righteousness and godliness. You're walking around with a sour face, a lemon face, and you're talking about, I love the Lord. Nobody can tell. Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I love Jesus. Why are you asking me all these questions? That's not love. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love is self-control. Love does no wrong. It doesn't go out here looking to find fault in you. Now, there's going to be times that we need to call out what we need to call out, because we want to help you. We want to help you grow. I want to be helped, too. If somebody points out something to me that I'm doing wrong, I either got one or two responses. A, I need to meditate on that and say, thank you, brother, sister. I will be more mindful of that, or I can let my pride get in the way. And I say, I'm not going to listen to none of you guys say you lying on me. But I got to at least, if I don't at least take a look at it and examine what you're saying about me, because I might be missing it. Let me at least examine and scrutinize and go through what you're saying and see if it lines up with any of my actions. And let me go before the Lord and pray to him. Lord, am I doing this? Am I acting in some kind of way? See, humility says that I'm willing to not only look at myself, examine myself to see whether I'm right or wrong, but humility says I'm willing to go before the Lord first and foremost. And if I'm wrong, I want to get it right. I want to get it right. We all should want to get it right. Amen? Too many people are trying to do it by themselves. God didn't call us to be long rangers, long strangers. He wants us to do it. Everything we do, we should do all to the glory of God. But we need to be in right standing with God first and foremost. We need to be in right standing with God. Number 24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with him or go with a wrathful man. Don't hang around these angry people, because that stuff rubs off on you. I can testify to that, yeah. Being around angry people makes you angry. It takes you out of your character. Where you weren't angry before, all of a sudden you hang with this person, or you could be married to a person like that. And that stuff rubs off on you. It's toxic. It's like a cancer. They're always angry, and it starts to rub off on them. Spend enough years with them. We have to be careful of that. We have to be mindful of what the Spirit of God is saying. Again, go back to verse 12 in the same chapter. He tells us, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the traitor. That was the verse I was looking for. I'm sorry. Wrong verse. But let's look here. Let's go to verse 25. He says, or will you, if you look at verse 23, 24, and 25, they all are lined up together. 23, 24, and 25, they're all lined up together. So, 24 and 25, I'm sorry. 24 and 25, they're connected together. He tells us how, and see, this is the thing about when you got chapter breaks or verse breaks. When the Bible was written, it wasn't written with numeral breaks in. So sometimes, especially in the Proverbs, these verses aren't connected. So you have to be careful. And, you know, you have to look back and say, okay, wait a minute, these two verses, they tie in together. They're not just one verse. It was because there were no verses in there. They basically did this to help us reference things in the Bible, but these weren't originally set up this way in the original writings of the Old Testament, even the New Testament. Those were added in to help us to reference things or reference points that we want to get to, or scriptures, or passages of scriptures. But he goes on to say in verse 24, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man.
lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Don't do it. If you're around somebody that's full of anger, malice, they got a contrite heart, they got a wicked heart, an evil heart, they don't ever see their wrong. They're always just bitter, angry, full of, you know, just, it's like, man, and nothing goes right in their life. They just look for opportunity, look for something to find fault in. Don't go with that person. Look, who wants to be around somebody that's always angry and bitter and upset about any little thing? Nobody should want to be around that. You shouldn't want to be around that because it's not going to benefit you. You can't have a decent conversation with them because as soon as you say something they didn't like, what are they going to do? They're going to turn on you. Well, man, you don't believe that? You don't like this? Blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, hey, they're going off the hinges. And that anger starts to boil and boil and boil and boil and boil. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. Verse 26, he says, be not one of those who give pledges who put up security for debt. We talked about this a number of times. In other words, don't co-sign for people. Don't co-sign for people. That would be the wisest advice. Don't sign a loan for nobody. Don't go and sign your name on the dotted line for a car. It's just not wise to do that. Family members, non-family members. You know, some people's credit have gotten so ruined that they tried to help out a family member, and next thing you know, that family member burned. You have to use discretion if you are going to do it. You better pray about it, see if the Lord fits it. Now, if you try to help somebody reestablish their credit, and you let them know that, look, I will do this for you, sign a contract, I will do this for you because I want to help you better yourself and be more responsible. You don't just do it with a big purchase. You do it with a little purchase first. You give them a test drive. You see how well they'll do with the little, and then if they show good favor, if they show that they're responsible, they show that they learn, they show that they're trustworthy, then you can go for the bigger things. But you probably want to test them out, especially if they've let you down in the past. But I would say you still need to pray about it because everybody can't handle money. Everybody's not going to be responsible. Everybody's not going to do the right thing. And no matter how much you trust in people, they can let you down. So it's wise to make sure that we're seeking wisdom from God, maybe get some counsel from somebody else, see if this is a wise thing. Because if the bank won't give them a loan, you have to ask them, why does the bank not give them a loan? They don't trust you. So therefore, you want to take that responsibility. And if you do, and you need to realize that, hey, okay, this is my responsibility. I know that I'm taking a gamble here, a risk, but I'm willing to give you a benefit of the doubt because I can cover it if I have to. You don't let them know you can cover it if you have to, but you basically, in your own mind, in your own spirit, you're saying basically, hey, if I have to cover this, I'm getting my car back or my vehicle or whatever, my cab, whatever I got, whatever it is, a property that you own, I'm going to take this back. If I can't get my money, I'm going to get this whatever it was that I co-signed for. But you might want to do a little small loan and then say, hey, you show good favor here, then we'll see what we can do the next time around. But you can't build trust and credit if you don't step up and do the right thing. Amen. Verse 27. He says, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from you, from under you? If you can't pay for your bed, or it says, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? We see here, I think this, again, a continuation. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? If the time comes when the debt must be paid back and you have no money, you may be sleeping on the ground. You might have to give up something as collateral or something so you can pay this debt back, pay off this debt. You're going to take something of value. Maybe it might be something as little as your computer, which ain't worth much to him, but it's worth more. It's the only thing of value you got. You're using it for the work of ministry, and you're using it for different things to you know, where now you don't have that no more. Maybe it's your phone. Something that's priceless to you at this point. You don't have much, but the little that you have, now that's been taken from you because you weren't faithful with the little. You weren't faithful to give that person. And again, it's all about establishing establishing trust, establishing faithfulness. If you can't pay it off, be honest. Call that person up and say, hey, I need you to, you know, reach out to me. I need you to, you know, or basically call and say, hey, I can't pay all of it, but this is what I can pay today. Please give me a little more time. I want to do right by you. I want to do right. And I failed, friends. I'm not going to even sit here and tell you a lie. Some people might know that I failed. They might say, man, he sounds like a hypocrite. If I ever get an opportunity to make it right, I'm going to make it right with those that I fail. I'll make it right. Verse 28. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. In Joshua 13 to 21, the land was divided and the boundaries were marked out for each tribe. Moses had already warned people that when they reached the promised land, and they shouldn't cheat the neighbors by moving any of the boundary markers or give themselves more land than the neighbors, more land and their neighbors less. Let me go back here because I think I'm giving up. Yeah, he says, do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. And then he says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before the obscure men. But again, this was Moses had set boundaries. God told him to set boundaries for the children of Israel. And he goes on to say here that these boundaries were set for a reason. They were set so that the children of Israel would each have their own. He says, a proverb that instructs us to be honest in all our dealings. And it was dealing about being in right standing with God and not getting more than you deserve or getting less than you deserve or treating your neighbor better or treating somebody different because they had less or more. It's all about honest, being honest. God always wants us to be people of integrity, people of excellence. And we all got a way to go. We're not going to all be perfect down here. Of course we're not going to be. And when I say perfect, I mean mature. And we should be mature, but when maturing, we ain't going to never be perfect in the sense that we're going to always get it right. But we should be striving. We should be striving to get it right in business and in everything else we do. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before the obscure men. In other words, we're going to all stand before God. It has been said, I believe, success in life is within the reach of all who set before them an aim and an ambition that is not beyond the talents and ability which God has bestowed upon them. We should all begin with the determination to do well whatever we take in hand. And if that determination be adhered to aboard to with the pluck for which the Englishmen are renowned to success according to the nature and quality of our brain power. I think a certainty, had I begun life as let me go back here. In verse 29 again, we see here how I'm going to have to let that one go. I don't have my notes. I'm going to have to cut it off there. But if anybody would like to call in now for prayer, 646-668-8468, call in right now. If you'd like to have prayer, if you'd like to have any comments, if you want to talk about today's lesson of Proverbs 22, verse 16 through 29. If you'd like to talk, need a prayer request, if you want, whatever is on your heart, call in right now, 646-668-8468. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, may the Lord bless you. Bless us, Lord God. May you encourage us. May this word stimulate and touch each and every one of us, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that this message would move us and encourage us and build us up in our most holy faith. Just so many distractions today with this internet, podcast and stuff going on. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that this message was acceptable in your sight and in your heart and your ears today. And, Lord, we pray that the hearer would hear with a determination to search the scriptures and see and test everything in light of them. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and bless you. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Is a call-in number. 646-668-8468. If you need prayer, you'd like to make a comment or anything, we'll hang on for a couple minutes. If not, we'll close it up. Before we go, though, I'd like to still invite you continue to pray for this ministry and podcast, all the different Periscope, Facebook Live, and I see right now I'm having internet problems again on my server. Something's going on with my internet server or something. Starting to get a slow connection, drop my signal. So those type of things, friends, kind of get me off guard, and I start coming distracted. So I apologize if this message was not one of my better ones. So please forgive me for that. But I got three different devices on, and I'm trying to get. I'm having problems with Periscope dropping off, Facebook Live dropping off, Friend Life dropped off. And, you know, surprised I didn't lose my phone connection. But praise God that this is recorded. So I want to just thank you guys for coming out today. I pray that, like I said, if you're being blessed by this ministry, continue to pray for us. And if you can donate a love offering of any amount, please go to the GoFund account on my Facebook page. You can follow me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me on my Gmail account at dkendricksr@gmail.com, Twitter, dkendricksr65, and also on Periscope at Daryl Kendrick, Minister Daryl Kendrick on Periscope. You can be able to follow the live streams through those. So, again, you can listen to the podcast on Blog Talk Radio by going to Minister Big Ken 65 24/7. And you'll be able to listen to any one of the podcast messages. We'll be back on Blog Talk Radio for Proverbs chapter 23 on Wednesday. But tomorrow we'll probably do a devotional on there, some short topical message on there, as well as some other topical messages on Facebook Live and Periscope as well. So with that being said, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Pray that you have a blessed day in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless each and every one of you. Bye-bye.